glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Welcome to Mark and Friends for Thursday, February 20th, 2025. I'm your host, Donna Leland. Nate Pickowicz is our guest today, and he's going to help us enjoy our Bible in a deeper level. Thanks so much for joining us, Nate, on Mark and Friends.
Absolutely. Thank you for inviting me.
Now, when you sit down to write a book, there has to be a backstory as to why you chose this particular topic. So what event in your life triggered you to start studying the Bible? And now, how's that led you to develop this love and the trust in the Scripture?
Absolutely, yeah. So there is a definite event in time. I remember when I was a relatively new Christian, I was growing in the Lord. We were going to church, my wife and I, and doing the things that Christians normally do, but there was this lingering ache in my heart, and I just knew that even though I was reading the Bible every day, I wasn't delving into it. I wasn't understanding. I wasn't loving God's word. And that really became a crisis point for me. And then one day I just had enough, and I dropped to my knees, and I prayed for the Lord to ask. I prayed for him to help me. And then just through a series of providential circumstances, I just began to develop a love for God's word. I jumped onto a unique Bible reading plan, which I talk about in the book, and just began to grow in my love for God's word. And then I wanted to help teach other people. I realized I wasn't alone. There was a lot of people that were struggling to know and understand and love God's word, and I just wanted to be as helpful as possible. So even though it's my own personal journey, I think it's the journey of a lot of people in the Christian faith, and hopefully this book will be part of the solution to helping them navigate that.
And you know, he does use terms as far as consumption, because you know, the milk of the word, and then it's the meat of the word. So there is this idea of taking it in and just kind of extracting more of the nutrients in the word of God. So practically, give us some steps that we can do, even today, to begin to really, you know, eat the word of God.
Yeah, I think it really begins with prayer. I think, you know, prayer is our communication back to God. That's how we talk to him. That's how we entreat him, how we ask him for help, how we praise him. So I think beginning with just a very simple prayer of, you know, Lord, help me to understand your word. I think some people get scared off, but I think going to the Lord and asking him to help you by the power of his spirit to understand. And then I think from that point, you really have three basic steps. So I think the first step is really learning how to read the Bible. You know, we don't want to be the kind of people who turn our brains off and sort of miss the exit as we're driving. We want to pay attention. And just what does the text say? You know, there's something that's in the text. What are the words? You know, what's the story that's being told? What are the truths that are there? You want to pay attention and just learn to read the Bible at face value. And then I think the second step is asking, okay, what does this mean? There's a lesson behind this, or there's a point of doctrine or theology. There's a purpose why God put this in the Bible, and we want to try to understand what that passage is teaching. And then I think once we understand what the passage is teaching, the principles in that passage, then it's a question of how do I apply this to my own life? We know that the Bible is not written specifically with us as the target audience. I mean, we have years and years of history and culture in between us, but certainly the Bible was written with us in mind to apply and use this truth. So how is God's word speaking to you, and how can you apply and use these principles in your own life as a Christian? So I think, what does it say? What does it mean? How do you apply it? How do you use it? I think those are three really basic and helpful steps for those who are learning how to study their Bibles, and I think that's kind of the cornerstone of Bible study itself.
I do too, and that's a great point. I think it's okay to just sit a bit with the idea that we don't understand it, and even as we're reading through it, it's okay if you don't understand the passage. Just be inquisitive, and then maybe research and use some other resources that you trust. But, you know, we think when we sit down with the Bible, there's an anxiety that I got to understand this right now. But we don't. We can take time. We can chew on it, right? When we're eating meat, it takes a little bit to get, you know, that's use right. those back incisors to kind of really grind it down. And I just sense that that's what God would have us to do with his word.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think there is sort of this anxiety. That's kind of the one thing I've observed over, I mean, I'm a pastor. I've observed this for several years, even at our own church, where I think people just have a nervousness. Oh, I have to, you know, eat this massive book, you know, 66 books in this one big, huge book. And I think to just slow down, I advocate for like a book by book study method approach where it's not, you're not trying to plow through the whole thing in one time. You're just kind of picking pieces apart there and trying to just, you know, chew on what you can actually fit into your spiritual mouth, so to speak. But I think, you know, spending time meditating on God's word, I think sometimes repetitive reading is helpful. You know, you read a passage, maybe it doesn't make full sense in the moment, but you come back to it tomorrow or the next day or even later on in the day, and you can just start to ask the Lord, okay, show me what this is saying and what are some tools that God has given us through teachers and resources to help. And I think it's just an active process. We don't have to master it, but I think it's important that we become mastered by it. I think that's the big idea.
Yeah, that's a good word, that we become mastered by it. Mm. Yeah, we don't have to be Bible scholars. It's just taking that little piece of scripture that the Lord would have you enjoy and just chew on it and, you know, get all that wonderful nutrient out of it in whatever season of life you're in. So that's our encouragement for you today, dear listener. You know, Nate, you talk about modifiers, and I'm clueless as to kind of what you're speaking of, but we know all scripture is inspired by God, but you say that Paul added four modifiers to understand that statement.
Yeah, so I think we're talking about, there's a passage in 2 Timothy 3:16. Just try to get there myself so I can take a look at it. So when we talk about a modifier, that all that is just a fancy way of saying that ways that the writer is using what's in front of them. So, for example, in 2 Timothy 3:16, the Bible says all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. So what Paul's doing there is he's just saying all Scripture is profitable for us. And then we ask the question, well, in what ways is it profitable? How can I use the Word of God? And then he modifies that statement. He says, well, it's useful in these different ways. And so his examples are, it's useful to teach us, it's useful to reproof and correct us, and also to train us. And so we want to be constantly submitting ourselves to God's Word. God, what do you have to teach me today from this word? What do you have to change or correct in me? What do you need to train in me? We want to grow. We can only grow when we submit ourselves to God's word.
Right, and as we approach it, you know, it's not that he's going to use it as a whip to, you know, beat you up, which I think, unfortunately, sometimes that's how the word of God comes across, especially in church when the pastor's voice gets loud and we start, you know, squirming, and it just feels like it's just being used as a tool to spank us. But try to reconnect with God's word, if that has been the atmosphere that you were raised in, and see it as a love letter. And of course, if God loves us, he is going to correct us, because that's what you do with people you love, your kids. So maybe reconfigure your relationship with the word of God and say, Lord, you want to love me. You want to tell me, you know, your relationship with me and how much you care. So I just want to encourage our listeners, you know, Nate, maybe they need to develop a different mindset about just even reading God's word.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus in John or Matthew chapter 11 says to his people, come to me, you know, those who are wearied and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You know, he offers rest to us and he teaches us through his word, and the goal is to, yes, to correct us and to train us, but he does want to comfort our hearts. And so many times, you know, the Lord unburdens us. He removes our cares. He removes our sorrows. He forgives our sins. And so we can take great comfort in God's word. But again, the most loving thing that a loving father could do would be to correct his children when they are wrong. But I think the way that God does this, he doesn't do it as a cruel master. He does it as a loving and tender father. But again, sometimes it is hard to receive, but again, that's the Lord himself correcting us. I'm a preacher, so it's not my job to, like you say, to attack or beat up the people. God's word does the work, and he's the one who applies those truths to us in ways that only we can understand and need even in the moment. So I think taking a different approach, that God desires you to know his word because he desires you to know him. And Jesus said, knowing God, that is eternal life, is to know God and know him forever. So that's the goal of Bible study. I want to know God. I want to love him. I want to worship him. And I want to be submitted to him. It's a wonderful thing.
It is. And Nate, we're talking with dear, faithful radio listeners who have the radio on in different rooms and throughout the day and in the car. And they are really committed to hearing the word of God expositorially, you know, communicated. And maybe, you know, their life is busy, or, you know, what I want to encourage them to do is, as they hear the programs, and let's say David Jeremiah is preaching through a different part of the scripture, and he does a lot of series work, well, open that Bible up along with David and just enjoy that passage. Or what I find myself doing is, as I listen, someone will say a passage of scripture and my heart leaps with joy. And I want that feeling to continue. Just as you eat a good meal, and in 20 minutes it finally hits your tummy, and then you start to release all these beautiful hormones that say, hey, I'm done. You know, we're done here, and you're satisfied. Well, when you hear that scripture given, my friend, you know, that's that, ooh, this tastes good. Well, go ahead and grab that and then spend more time with that and just really chew on it and get to the point where you're satisfied, where you're full, you feel completed. And that's what we want for you when it comes to reading and interacting with the Word of God. I love the immediate, you know, explosion of, wow, that was great. But I want to get to that deep-rooted moment where I'm saying, wow, I am satisfied. I've got that verse. And I know when I am moving through my day, I can go back to that verse. I kind of equate it to maybe, you know, when you're eating caramel, it's kind of hard to have it not stick to your teeth. So it's kind of nice, you know, like an hour later, there's still that little piece of caramel that you can enjoy. So, you know, it's just that enjoyment of God's word that we want to get deep within us and linger.
Yeah, Jeremiah said, your words were found and I ate them and they became sweet to me. That's the same idea, that, you know, there is a lingering effect, you know, when we know God's word. And I think that also plays into the idea of meditating on God's word too. I think sometimes we can think about meditation being some sort of otherworldly thing or a pagan thing. But the truth is that meditating and turning over God's word in your mind, that's the way that you can get it to stick to the roof of your mouth, so to speak, or to linger in your stomach, is to chew the phrases over. You know, what does it mean that God so loved the world he gave his only begotten son? What does that mean, and how do I understand that? How does that change me? I think lingering and chewing and meditating is so important. I think it's something that's lacking in sort of our very fast-paced tech culture, the scroll culture. I think we have to fight that and not scroll through God's word quickly, but to linger and pause and think. And I think when we think deeply, as the pilgrims used to say, assiduously, if we think deeply of God's word, I think it begins to change us in subtle ways, but wonderful ways.
Well, we're past January 19th, and I hear that that's kind of the day when everybody opts out of their New Year's resolutions. So,
okay,
you have decided that reading through the Bible in a year was an important event for you, and already you're, you know, down a few passages, but running behind, it's okay, you know. And let's reconfigure, Nate. You've got some ideas when it comes to the Bible reading plan, and you say there are some benefits but drawbacks to the Bible in a year. You're thinking linger longer. Give us some really practical ways to really approach God's word.
Yeah, it's a good point. I think if, you know, listener, if you're the kind of person who enjoys and benefits from reading God's word in a year, then don't stop. Keep doing that. I never want to discourage anybody from a Bible reading plan that they're on. But for the folks who maybe they hit Leviticus and they slow down or they get discouraged and they think they can't make up lost time, I think just changing your approach. I advocate for what I call in the book a 7-year Bible reading plan. Now, that sounds really scary, but it's really not. The idea is that you actually slow down and you break up and you go book by book. So maybe you start in the New Testament and you say, okay, for the next month or two, I'm going to just spend my time in the Gospel of John. And you reread the passages, you reread the verses over and over again over several days. So, you know, if you get a cold and you miss a couple of days because you're bedridden, you can always pick back up. You don't lose any steam. And that way it trains you to focus in on one book at a time. And as you devote yourself to just one book at a time, you know, one chapter at a time, next thing you know, before too long, you've gone through large portions of Scripture, whole testaments. And then by the time you're finished that process, you get through the whole Bible. So I think just lingering a little bit longer, you know, taking an approach that's more focused on retention, keeping these things in your mind, understanding, growing with the Word of God, not just plowing through it just to say you did it, but really living with the Bible for long periods of time, I think it can change you. I've talked to lots of people. That's how I came into studying the Word of God, was that method of just spending time over and over again and just living with the Bible. I think it can have a really transformative effect. And I think for people who are frustrated, that might be a really good option to just change the way you think about Bible study.
I'm sure all of our listeners have that favorite chair, whether it's a lazy boy or maybe it's a couch, but we all have our spot where our glasses are, where we can put our cup of coffee or tea, where the cat knows that it can come and sit on our lap. It's that special moment space. And you talk about when we start the reading plan, we need to be preparing our heart, our mind, and even the environment. Talk about that.
Absolutely. I think, you know, we're creatures of habit, and it's very hard to read the Bible with the TV on. It's hard to read the Bible when you're trying to do other things. You know, you want to be focused. You want to be single-minded, and you want to be calm. You want to be prepared to encounter God and His Word. So I think, you know, giving yourself the time, the space, if you know that you only have, you know, a half hour in the morning, then make that a half hour that's really worth it. Don't try to multitask. Some people do it at night because that's when they have time. I know for, you know, young families, tired moms, it can be a big challenge. But I think trying to carve out small amounts of time or specific time that you know you can do it, and just creating that space where you can encounter God through His Word, I think that's so important. But yeah, clear away the distractions, set your phone on the shelf, pray, get a cup of coffee, and just really try to spend that time. And I think that's going to be the most precious time you have all day.
Really is. So tools, what are some of the tools in our toolbox that would help us understand, maybe interpret, and just apply the Word of God?
Yeah, there are so many tools and resources. It's almost overwhelming, I think, at times. But I think number one is just being part of a local church where the Word of God is preached every week. I think the way that we learn is oftentimes by hearing. And so I think a lot of times, you know, God gives pastors and teachers as resources for the church. And so I think, you know, going to a pastor and saying, hey, you know, what, help me understand this passage. I don't know a single pastor that would not want to help a believer understand a passage. But even say they're not available or you're just kind of, you know, on your own for the day, there are lots of Bible tools and dictionaries and commentaries and things like that. Because a lot of times I think there are customs and manners and, you know, maybe some geography that we're not familiar with. And so I think using some tools to understand some culture and some differences, what are the differences between the biblical world and our world? I think bridging that gap is really important. And there's just so many good tools out there. But you can find resources online. You can find all kinds of tools everywhere. But I would definitely lean into your local church if you're a part of a local church. And I think that'll be a good place to start for sure.
You know, as I age, it's that pen and paper that has helped me so much in my world. It's like, I got to write it down. I just got to write it down. And so maybe encourage our listeners to get that nice little journal book that you have five of them. You know, I've got a million of them. And just make that your documenting of what God is saying to you and communicating. And it's nice if you write it down, you know where you are. And then if there's another verse that you hear on the radio or information that could go along with your Bible reading, I love it when God does that. It is so neat where he gives you a verse and then you hear a message on it. And it's just like a double blessing. So maybe a journal, if you're not used to writing things down in a book, can be kind of special.
Yeah, I think for those who are active learners who like to write down, sometimes that process can help sift through your thoughts and sort of flesh out some things. So that's a great insight right there as well.
Well, let's just, we have a few more minutes left, so let's go over your 7-year Bible plan, if you wouldn't mind.
And I think the first one would be to start in the New Testament. Nothing wrong with the Old Testament. We love the Old Testament. You can't understand the Old Testament, however, unless you understand the New Testament. So I think starting in the New Testament is a good way to go. And then I think planning your reading realistically. If you're the kind of person who can read a chapter a day or a paragraph a day, or some people even read more than that, then break out your reading day by day accordingly. But I think repetitive reading is helpful. I really try to just spend as much time as possible and get that text into my mind. And then when I got to the Old Testament, I did it a little bit differently. I didn't do as many consecutive reads through the Old Testament because there was so much content. But I tried to approach it the same way, just to get repetitive reading, 10 times through a specific chapter or 15 times. But again, repeating over and over again, just getting God's Word, because it's amazing. You'll read it 3 or 4 times and you think you understand, but I'll tell you, you read it 10 times or even 20 or 30 times, and there have been many, many days where my 28th reading of a specific verse or passage, something pops up and I never saw that before. Wow! And then it's that's excitement. So I think, again, not overwhelming yourself, but just giving yourself goals and breaking your reading down into manageable chunks and just meditating and chewing bit by bit and really enjoying the process of learning God's Word.
We've been enjoying the ministry of Nate Pickowitz on Mark and Friends on how to enjoy our Bible. Now we've got books to give away. For the first 5 callers, we'll have a book on Bible study. You want to call 217-528-2300, 217-528-2300. Leave your name and a contact information, and Ani will be able to call you back and let you know you won, and then we'll ship your book to you as well. That's again 217-528-2300 to win a book today on Mark and Friends. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm your friend Donna Leland. Have a great day.